The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Check out Virtue, our website for Christian women. Go to harvest.org/virtue.
Can you name the Ten Commandments?
Why do we have to know them? I mean, it's not like they're written in stone. Yeah, about that. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie invites us to learn them well.
I suggest you can memorize all of these commandments, but we need to do more than memorize the commandments. We need to internalize the commandments because they're not obsolete, they're absolute. And if you keep these commandments, you will be a happy person.
This is the day when the lost are found.
If we thought about it, many of us could name our 10 favorite movies, our 10 favorite actors, our 10 favorite songs, our 10 favorite meals. But what about God's top 10 instructions carved on stone tablets and hand-delivered to Moses on Mount Sinai? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us dig into those instructions as we return to his series called Water, Fire, Stone, an enlightening study of the life of Moses. Good encouragement coming our way today.
Hope. That is something that seems to be in short supply in this day and age. I read a headline from a news site the other day that says, quote, Americans are the unhappiest they have been in 50 years. 14% of Americans say they are very unhappy, down from 31% who said they were happy in 2018. This is because of the impact of the coronavirus and the stay-at-home orders and all the other problems that have come as a result of it. And people are feeling isolated, lonely, uncertain about their future, and in some cases, hopeless. Some are even finding themselves entertaining suicidal thoughts. Tragically, some have even given in to them. So I want to speak to you right now. Anyone who has ever felt as though your life does not matter, no one would miss you if you're gone. Let me say this to you. You could not be more wrong. You are loved by God. You are loved by so many people more than you realize. And your life has meaning. Your life has purpose. You have a place and we need you. So I want you to hang on. You know, sometimes when you're young, life can seem so unfair. And life can seem so hard and you wonder, how am I going to get through it? And look, this is one of the few advantages of age. If I could trade, I'd rather be young again. But sometimes I feel like I'm a young person trapped in an old person's body. But let me just say this. If you're young and you're facing some crisis right now, no matter how bad it is, you're going to get through it. Whatever you're going through, it's going to pass ultimately. This too shall pass. Now, honestly, it may pass like a kidney stone through your system, but it is going to pass and you are going to get through it. And listen to this. God can take all of the hurt and the pain that you have experienced in life and ultimately use it to touch other people and make you the man or the woman that he wants you to be. I'm not speaking from a vacuum. I was not raised in a Christian home. I didn't have a Christian mom and dad that tucked me into bed at night and read me Bible stories. I lived the opposite of that life. I think most of you know my story. Raised by an alcoholic mother, married and divorced 7 times, being drugged all around the country, a very crazy, tumultuous childhood. And it was hard and it was difficult. But when I came to faith in Christ, it changed the course of my life. And now I feel like I can take the pain and the hardship I've been through and help other people. It's been said, if you preach to hurting people, you will never lack for an audience. I know I'm talking to some hurting people right now. We all could use some hope. A famous cardiologist wrote in his autobiography, and I quote, "Hope is the medicine I use more than any other. Hope can cure nearly anything," end quote. Could you use some of that medicine right now? Could you use some hope? You want to talk about having a hopeless future? I can't think of anyone who faced a more bleak scenario than little baby Moses. Moses was chosen by God to save a nation. But before that was going to happen, Moses was a baby whose life was in danger. You remember the story that the Pharaoh of Egypt had given a decree that all the Jewish baby boys should be put to death, and Moses was included in that number. But his parents did not obey that ruling of the Pharaoh, obviously, and they put him in a little basket and sent him cruising down the Nile River, and he was discovered by none other than the daughter of the Pharaoh, and he was taken into the home of the Pharaoh as a son, and some believe he was being groomed to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. So God saved his life. And before we get further in the story and what God used him to do, just keep this in mind. It was a hopeless situation that was turned around by God. Moses is an interesting character for sure. He was both a lawgiver and he was a lawbreaker. He was born in poverty, but he was raised in a palace, and the wilderness became his home. At times, he could be impulsive, impatient, and explosive. And at other times, he could be unbelievably patient and persistent and faithful to what the Lord called him to do. Moses was both idolized and criticized, yet he remained humble and forgiving. How did this man do what he did? Can we tap into some secrets of this great man of God and learn how to face our own difficulties? And I believe the answer is yes. Okay, so we're in a series that we're simply calling Water, Fire, Stone. It's called Water because God saved baby Moses from the Nile River and preserved his life. As I already pointed out, he was taken into the home of Pharaoh. Had he played his cards right, he could have become a very powerful man. But the reality is, Moses was Jewish, and he saw how his fellow Jews were being mistreated by the Egyptians. And so one day he took matters into his own hands, and he saw an Egyptian taskmaster cruelly treating a Jewish slave, beating him. So Moses, the Bible says, looked to the right, and he looked to the left, and he killed the Egyptian. He should have looked up. The Lord would have said, don't do that. Then he buried him in the sand. By the way, if you're going to kill someone, don't bury them in the sand, because the sand moves a lot. And it was quickly discovered. And the Pharaoh said, Moses is going to die. That brings us to section number two of this series, fire, water, fire, stone. Fire because it was at a burning bush that God recommissioned Moses. God used Moses to bring the Israelites out of the bondage of Pharaoh into a land of promise. So that brings us to the third section, stone. Stone represents that section that we're in now where God gave to Moses the Ten Commandments written on a tablet of stone. You know, it's a funny thing. We run around with our tablets today. We read our emails on them, and we follow social media on them. We watch movies on them. They're so much a part of our life. Well, God had the original tablets, and they weren't made by Apple or Android. They were given by God, and they were engraved with his words by his very finger. We call it the Ten Commandments, and I want to look at those together with you. Barely 300 words long in English, the Ten Commandments form the foundation of the legal system, and they are at the heart of Western civilization. Someone summed up the Ten Commandments this way, and I quote, "The reason we have 17,000 pages in our law books in America is because we're unable to follow 10 sentences written in tablets of stone. If we followed the Ten Commandments, we would not be in the mess we're in. Politics will not solve our problems until God changes our hearts," end quote. Well said. In my interview last time with Senator Tim Scott, I loved how he summed it up. He said, it's not a black solution. It's not a white solution. It's not a blue solution. It's a God solution. And that's true. And God has given us the solution to all of our problems right here in the scripture. And they're broken out for us in the Ten Commandments. Now, most people acknowledge that the Ten Commandments are important, that they're true. Very few people know the Ten Commandments. A recent survey revealed that only 14% of Americans could name the Ten Commandments. Let me ask you, can you name the Ten Commandments? Maybe you'll do that a little bit later with the folks that you know, but I'm going to read them for you in just a moment. We know so many other things. For instance, by comparison, a quarter of Americans can name the seven ingredients in a Big Mac. Nearly one out of four know the names of all three Stooges. And one in three can name all the kids from the Brady Bunch. Really? That's amazing. So we know that the Big Mac has two all-beef patties, but we don't know thou shalt not steal or thou shalt not bear false witness. You might say, well, Greg, it's hard to memorize them. Well, we know other things. What are the names of the Beatles? Well, John, Paul, George, Ringo, of course. Well, you can't memorize one commandment or two or three. I suggest you can memorize all of these commandments, but we need to do more than memorize the commandments. We need to internalize the commandments because they're not obsolete. They're absolute. Let me say that again. The commandments are not obsolete. They're absolute. And if you keep these commandments, you will be a happy person. Because Psalm 1 says, blessed or happy is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it does he meditate day and night. So if I keep these commandments, I'll be a happy person. The commandments are not like the bars of a prison to keep you inside. They're like walls of protection to keep evil out of your life. They're given for your own good so you can go from hopelessness to happiness.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here, inviting you to join me every weekend for what we call Harvest at Home. It's a church service, it's a worship service, it's a Bible study, and it's wherever you want it to be. In your home, in your car, sitting on a beach, walking down the street, watching it on your phone, wherever you are, you can take it with you and be ministered to every weekend. Join us for Harvest at Home at harvest.org.
Well, we're considering the Ten Commandments today as Pastor Greg presents his message called From Hopelessness to Happiness.
So let's look at what the commandments have to say to us. Exodus chapter 20, and I'm going to read quite a few verses with you, so I hope you'll read along. Here we are, commandment number one, Exodus 20, verse 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number two, Exodus 20, verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or the earth beneath or in the water under the earth, nor shall you bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity on the fathers, on the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, and showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Commandment number three, Exodus 20, verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Commandment number four, Exodus 20, verse 8 and 9, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Commandment number five, Exodus 20, 12, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you. Commandment number six, you shall not murder. Commandment number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Commandment number eight, Exodus 20, verse 15, you shall not steal. Commandment number nine, Exodus 20, verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, or don't lie. And then one final commandment, Exodus 20, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house or covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or female servant, nor his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor. So there they are. Those are the Ten Commandments. Start working on memorizing them, then start working on internalizing them. So let's start with commandment number one. You shall have no other gods before me. I read a survey that revealed that 76% of Americans consider themselves completely faithful to the first commandment. Wow. 76%. Is that true? Is it true that most Americans have never had another God in the place of the true God? Well, maybe we need to understand what the Bible is saying here. It all starts with the place of God in your life. Reason being, you will serve what you worship. I remember Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And Satan said to Jesus, "Why don't you bow down and worship me?" And Christ responded, "You shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve." Interesting, the devil didn't say anything about serving. He just said, "Give me the momentary pleasure of worshiping me, and I'll give you what you've come for," because scripture says Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Effectively, the devil was saying, "Jesus, I'll make you a deal you cannot refuse." Bad imitation of the Godfather. "I'll give you what you've come for. I know you've come to die on a cross for the sin of the world. I know you've come to purchase back that which was lost in the Garden of Eden. I'll give it to you on a silver platter if you'll just worship me." Jesus says, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord God only, and him only shall you serve." The devil said nothing about service, but Jesus did. Why? Because Jesus knows that we will end up serving whatever we worship. If God is number one in your life, everything else will find its proper balance. If God is not number one in your life, everything else will be in chaos. Notice here that God gives them and us the motive for keeping these commandments. Verse 2, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." The Lord does not begin by threatening or scaring them. He starts by reminding them of what kind of God he was. A loving, caring God who delivered them from their misery. Basically, the Lord is saying, loose paraphrase, "Hey, I took care of you guys. I delivered you from your bondage in Egypt. You were a slave there." Now we hear that and we say, "Well, that's nice, but I'm not an Israelite who was delivered from bondage in Egypt." Yes, but you were a sinner who was delivered from the bondage of your sin, were you not? If you put your faith in Christ. So the idea here is, think about all that God has done for you. And then as a result, you should want to honor him in the way that you live. You should want to reciprocate. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. So the Lord is saying, "Hey, I took care of you. Now I want you to keep these commandments." He has certain expectations of us. My love for God should be a response to his love for me. So, you know, we'll say, "Oh, Lord, I love you so much," but effectively we have another God in our life. Or we'll say, "Lord, I love you so much," but we'll be breaking his commandments left and right. But listen, here's what the Lord says. Look at Exodus 20, verse 6. "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." Now this throws some people. What do you mean he's a jealous God? Is God that insecure that he has to be jealous? And we tend to think of jealousy always in a negative sense. We think of a jealous person as someone who may fly into a rage for the slightest reason. But when the Lord uses this word, "I am a jealous God," he means it in a different way. He's showing to the people of Israel that he cares about them. A father who sees the potential of his children. A father who is brokenhearted when these things are not realized, or worse, when their lives are wasted. He's a father who loves his children and wants the very best for them. That's what it means when the Bible says he's a jealous God. That means he is in charge of your life. You are not in charge of your life. God cares about you. So, you know, we can be a jealous parent. And by being a jealous parent, it means we understand it's our responsibility to take care of our kids. So we'll say, sit up straight, clean up your room, show better manners when you're talking to an adult. Do this, don't do that. That is the role of a parent that wants the best for their child. It's not our position to go to somebody else's child and tell them what to do, but we have a responsibility to tell our own children what to do because we belong to God. Because when we put our faith in Christ, we become children of God. He says, I have certain expectations of you. I have a future for you. I have a wonderful plan for you, and I don't want to share you with anyone or anything else.
Pastor Greg Laurie, with an important look at the Ten Commandments today and why the Lord has given us those instructions. And there's more to come from this message here on A New Beginning, a study titled From Hopelessness to Happiness. If you didn't hear all of today's insight, you can listen again online at harvest.org. Or to get a permanent copy on CD, call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. People are talking about Pastor Greg's new film, A Rush of Hope, a cinematic crusade. After viewing the film, more than 17,000 people have made decisions for Christ.
Just watched A Rush of Hope. The scenes from the movie brought tears to my eyes.
Oh, wow. I cried. It was so good.
I had tears streaming down my face for most of the show.
The way he explains it, it's so simple, but yet so it holds so much weight.
It is very well done, and our family watched it and shared about it on all of our social media platforms as well. Thank you for all that you do, Pastor Greg.
Because of listening to your sermons and watching a trailer for A Rush of Hope, I decided to rededicate my life to Christ.
A Rush of Hope, a cinematic crusade. Viewed by more than 1.8 million people. And now it's available on DVD, exclusively from A New Beginning. And Pastor Greg, people have been asking about this, haven't they? In fact, people have asked me, hey, when's A Rush of Hope coming out on DVD?
Yes, Dave, I've heard the same thing. People would comment on my social media. I loved it. I watched it 5, 6, 7, 8 times because, as you know, over a given weekend, Labor Day weekend, we showed it multiple times and people just kept watching it and watching it and then wanting to share it with friends. But, of course, we never archived it. You couldn't watch it on demand. You could only watch it for one of the showings. But now you can watch it whenever you want, wherever you want, with whomever you want to watch it with, because A Rush of Hope is on DVD. And not only that, but we've added some special resources to this offer. We're including a special little book called A Rush of Hope, a little booklet where we answer life's most difficult questions that you could give out to somebody who is not yet a Christian. There's also a little piece that we wrote on how to host a watch party. So the idea is you invite a bunch of neighbors over and you show A Rush of Hope, and then you can follow up on them so they can make a commitment to Jesus Christ. We saw thousands of people make a profession of faith after we showed this on Labor Day weekend, well over 17,000 people. And now we believe thousands and thousands more will come to Christ as well. And so we're going to put this resource in your hands, and all you got to do is order it. You say, well, what do I need to do? We'll send it to you for your gift of any size.
Yeah, that's right. And your investment couldn't come at a more strategic time. We hope you'll help us reach out even further with the gospel in 2021. So contact us today for the DVD of A Rush of Hope, along with the booklet on life's most important questions and the resources to help you host a watch party. Plus, we'll send you a digital download code so you can watch online right from your computer or tablet or smartphone. That way you can take it with you and share it with a friend. A cinematic crusade in your pocket or purse. So write us today at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. And we can take your call 24/7. Or just go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg brings us more insights on the practical application of the Ten Commandments as he continues his series, Wood, Fire, Stone, here on A New Beginning.
This is the day when life begins.
preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.